Well, good morning, everybody. Today, our Bible reading is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 21 and 25. So if you've got a Bible, it's Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And verse 25, "But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." I have a great nephew who turned one a few weeks ago, and that means that he was a lockdown baby. And during the pandemic, there were all the worries about his mother staying safe. Would the pregnancy be safe? Would she be able to give birth safely? Would the father be able to be there? And then we had the sorrow of not being able to meet the new addition to the family for about 3 months. But amidst all that worry and stress, there was also the excitement of the new birth and important things like, what would the baby's name be? And if you've ever had a new child arrive in your family, then you'll know that the name is important. Obviously, it's got to be a name that the parents like. It's going to be borne by the child for the whole of its life. And I suppose there's a sense as well when the baby's born as to whether this name actually fits the baby. So we're going to look at a slide now with a name on it. And believe it or not, this is the name of another child that was born in 2020. And I think it's pronounced X-A-12, something like that. And it's apparently the name of the son of Elon Musk, the SpaceX founder. And his wife explained the meaning of all these numerals on Twitter. So when you get home today, you might like to look it up, or you can ask me afterwards because I looked it up beforehand. So it seems that the rich and the famous often like to make statements through the names that they give to their children. And in the Bible, names are statements too, but they tend to be statements about a person's purpose, about their place in God's plan, their circumstances, or their characteristics. So Adam, for example, is believed to be a play on the name for earth, because he came from the dust of the earth. And you may know that Isaac means laughter, because his mother laughed when she heard that she was going to have a child. And then people in the Bible are often renamed by God. Abram was given the new name Abraham, which means father of many nations. And perhaps most famously, there's Simon in the New Testament who becomes Peter, meaning rock, because of the role that he'll play as the rock on which the church will be built. So in the Bible, names have meaning. And it's therefore appropriate and possibly even essential that this child we hear about in Matthew chapter 1, this child who's been conceived through the Spirit of God himself, should be given a name of great significance. And what a name it is. The angel tells Joseph in a dream that Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You may find that there's a footnote in your Bible that says something like, Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua, meaning the Lord saves. And I did a piece of research on this, and if we could have the next slide, thanks, Tom. Joshua, which is Jesus' name in Hebrew, is Yehoshua, which over time got shortened to Yeshua. And if we break Yehoshua down, then the first part, the Yehosh part, refers to Yahweh. And that's the name that God revealed to Moses, the name of God. And then the second part, Shua, relates to the verb Yasha, meaning rescue, deliver, save. So Yehoshua or Yeshua means Yahweh saves. So we could retranslate the angel's words as, she, Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Yahweh saves, because he will save his people from their sins. And I think I'd never really noticed before that this is a statement not just about Jesus' purpose, but about who he is. His purpose is to save his people from their sins, but surely only God, Yahweh, can do that. So if Jesus is to save his people from their sins, then as his name suggests, he must be Yahweh. Jesus is the God who saves. So the angel's command to Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins, is in effect the gospel in 17 words. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And this takes us to the essence of Christmas. Now, I'm sure we're all aware how sentimental Christmas can become. If I asked you to put up your hand if you enjoyed a good nativity play, I'm sure there'd be a lot of hands that went up, because we really like it, don't we? We like to see the children, there's a Mary and Joseph, and there's the innkeeper, and you're never quite sure what they're going to say next, and there's the shepherds and the angels and the kings, and it's all very enjoyable and very cosy. But according to the Bible, this event that we now call Christmas is actually the start of the main act of God's rescue plan. And the need for this rescue plan takes us right back to the beginning of the Bible, to Adam and Eve when they disobey God, when they break that relationship with him and introduce pain and evil into the world. Sin means missing the mark, and it's actually an archery term, and it refers to missing the bullseye on a target. And the Bible tells us that human beings constantly miss the mark of God's goodness and perfection. We've prayed this morning for peace, and I think you only have to take a glimpse of the news to understand how cruel and evil human beings can be. And if we look into our own hearts, we would perhaps have to admit how selfish and cruel that we can be. We all fall short of God's standards. We all miss the mark. And yet, God loves us. And if you haven't pondered this for a while, then maybe during Advent you can think again about how amazing it is that despite all the wickedness of humanity, God still loves us. He hates our sin, but he can't give up on us. And it's something that we hear throughout the Bible. For example, in the book of Hosea, which to me is an amazing book because it's like we eavesdrop on God's heart and we hear him wrestling internally. His people have been disobedient and wicked. He needs to punish them, but he can't. He says, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. And throughout the Bible, we see this tug between God's holiness and God's compassion as he tries to draw humanity back to himself. He teaches his people to sacrifice animals when they've sinned. And that's a very graphic reminder of how awful sin is. God's trying to say, sin is serious, it really is. There needs to be payment in blood to put things right. But nothing can ever truly put things right between men and women and God, because nobody can ever live a life full of obedience to God. Sacrifices have to be made over and over again. So what does God do? Christmas is the start of God's ultimate, audacious rescue plan. He comes to earth himself as a child to live a perfect life, to sacrifice himself on behalf of humanity. That will be the perfect sacrifice for sin, and anyone who puts their trust in it can start a new, forgiven, restored relationship with God, lasting into eternity. And this child we hear about in Matthew 1, this child named Yahweh Saves, he is the Son of God entering humanity on that journey to Easter to save his people from their sins. You may be familiar with a poem by the Christian poet Steve Turner, who wrote this poem called Christmas is Really for the Children. And he was suggesting, you know, Christmas is very cuddly and nice, so it's for the children. And let's not think about Easter, because Easter's not so nice. And maybe we better not think about if there's any connection between what happens when the baby grew up. But actually, we can only understand Christmas if we think about Easter. God so loved the world, says John, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I wonder if you know the amazing love of God this morning. I was 19 when I first understood what it meant for Jesus to have died for me. And I remember sitting in the Students' Union in Newcastle-on-Tyne University, that's the other Newcastle, and a student explained to me that Jesus had died on the cross for all my sins, past, present, and future. And it didn't matter if I felt forgiven or not, the fact was that I was forgiven. That was a long time ago. But I think the fact that Jesus died to save us from our sins becomes more and more precious the older we get. And as we think ahead to that point when we will face God after death, it's amazing to know that we will be acceptable to God, not because of who we are, but because of what Jesus has done. This baby born in Bethlehem who grew up to die for us, to save us from our sins. So this morning, I wonder how precious the name of Jesus is to you. Do you know Jesus, the God who saves, who died for your sins? Have you put your trust in him? Do you know the love of God, and are you sure of spending eternity with God because of the sacrifice Jesus made? And for anyone here this morning or watching online, if you're not sure of that, then the invitation is open to trust in him today. Just thank him for what he's done, tell him you trust him and you want to commit yourself to following him. And then tell another Christian what you've done so they can help you on that journey. But if you already have the assurance of God's love and maybe you've walked with him for a number of years, then will you thank him for all that he's done? Will you remember him in the busyness of the Christmas season? Will you adore in your heart this Jesus who came to save you from your sins? The angel said to Joseph, "She, Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Thanks be to God. Amen.